When life throws you the unexpected, wouldn't it be great to have someone right there with you? Like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there, ready to help protect what matters most to you. Call Thomas today at 229-798-4018 for a free quote. He might just save you money and get you better protected. Serving all of Southwest Georgia, like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there. Visit his website at thomasismyagent.com. Welcome back to another episode of the Southern Football Report, presented by State Farm agent Thomas Horn, thomasismyagent.com. Well, guys, we're back again for another episode here. What are we, week six?
Week six.
Between week six and seven, something like that, of the college football season. And, you know, the best part about October when it comes to college football season, I came to this realization today, is for the most part, with some exception, we are past the cupcakes on the schedule. From here on out, it's conference play. It's rivalry games, and it is sorting out the playoff picture, conference championship picture. Some fans of some teams are hoping that we win enough games to get to a bowl. Some fans have conference championship aspirations. Some fans want to see it all. We want to win it all. And at this point, you haven't lost your season, unless maybe you're Clemson.
Some have quit.
Or Florida. But you haven't won it yet either. It's like now's when it starts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, October's when football really gets going.
Weather's changing.
Yeah.
Week one still matters.
It does.
But from now until November is really when the season is made or lost.
Absolutely.
And looking back, as we always do here on the Southern Football Report, we start with a little review. We'll start with last Friday night's heartbreaker for us Seminoles. Florida State goes to Charlottesville to their Super Bowl and loses a double overtime thriller. I mean, if you're not a fan of either team, it was probably a lot of fun to watch. Kyle's phone was blowing up at the high school game.
I couldn't keep up. I knew something was going on. I just couldn't keep up.
So the group text was blowing up, and it's just me and Brian Howell. And I finally said, maybe we should move this to
move the chat
to a one-on-one. But
so it was funny. At that game, everybody had their phone in their hand. And you were like, oh, what are they doing? And then you realize everybody had their phone in their hand sideways. Because everybody was watching a high school game, but also had the Florida State game. Because it never got to a point where either team was going to take it over. So it was close the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was, people were engaged in both. And you'd see cheers, and you're like, hold on. Nothing just happened on the field. But it was something happening in the Florida State game on their phone. So,
dude, 4.5 million people watched that game, which was a Friday night record.
So I saw, this is crazy. You mentioned a little bit about people watching. The ABC is killing it.
Yes.
And it's going to get even better on Saturday.
Yes.
I mean, they had Bama, Georgia, 10.4 million viewers.
Right.
They had ABC, or ESPN, had the game on Friday night, had over 4 million viewers on a Friday.
Right.
And then you had LSU, Ole Miss, had 7 million viewers. Florida State, Virginia, there it is, 4.4 million with a peak of 7 million.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. 17 people went to the hospital, too, afterward.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Squirrel White.
He disappeared.
He got shrunk, didn't he?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fiasco, by the way. That is a just...
Can we start rushing the field?
Well, here's the thing.
It happens every week now, though.
It's when the big teams lose, and it's, you know, Florida State is the brand that, especially in the ACC,
you beat the brand
that everybody wants to celebrate that win. If it's Virginia playing, you know, Duke, nobody's storming the field, unless maybe Duke's ranked top 10 or something. But
yeah.
You make it $500,000 and it goes to another team, they'll quit doing it.
Well, ACC's
only 50,000.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm with you. I didn't even, truthfully, I was kind of...
Somebody's going to get killed is what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, you got all those people. And the students...
There's no barrier.
No, they are literally standing at the back of the end zone, 6 feet from the back line of the end zone, where Deuce Robinson bobbles the ball. And
we need to break that down.
Oh, man.
Somebody's going to get crushed against the... Like that, do you remember the rugby game? They made the... special about when all the people got trapped.
Yeah.
Something like that's going to happen.
It happens at soccer games, too.
Yeah,
you're right.
The fences come down. Yeah, at some stadiums, like a Clemson, that allows people on their field, the walls are conducive to letting you on the field. You know, if you go to Georgia or Bama, you can't do that. You got to go over several walls to get there. I remember being at Ole Miss last year when Ole Miss beat Georgia and they rushed the field. Their field is built for an easy rush. You know, Auburn's built on the student section for an easy rush.
You got to drop like 8 feet at least at Florida State to get.
Yeah, it's a long way. Yeah.
I never did that. I don't think we ever rushed the field when I was in school down there.
Y'all weren't rushing fields back then.
Hey, listen, we beat.
No, I mean, you were used to winning.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, we also weren't very good.
Well, straight out of the 90s, though.
Yeah. We beat number 2 Boston College with Matt Ryan in Tallahassee when I was going to school down there. And, you know.
But you see, I mean, teams like Florida State back then, teams like, and I get it, like Florida State's rushing this year was a little different, right? Because it was kind of like an XL of the fans. But you don't see Bama rushing the field.
No.
You don't see USC back in their heyday. Like, they weren't rushing the field.
Right.
Georgia beats Bama on Saturday night. Like, nobody's rushing the field.
Act like you've been there before.
We might rush the field next time we beat them.
That's true. We might need to.
Could be an XL.
Jeez.
Yeah, that game, it was a really, you know, it was a fun game.
It was.
Double overtime game with lots of offense. You know, Florida State had some issues exposed, especially on defense. I did not see the sense of urgency, the aggression on defense versus Virginia. It was like they were lost. It's like they didn't know what to do half the time. And you compare that to Week 1 against Alabama, which should have been, you know, new coordinator, first game of the year. You expect there to be defensive, you know, mental lapses and dudes open and all. We didn't have that against Alabama, but it dang sure showed up against Virginia. You had guys just not filling the hole and free rushers and all the things. It just was a weird. I think Virginia's offense is probably pretty good. I mean, I know they are.
They definitely are.
And, you know, you have a couple of turnovers in the first quarter, and it was a tough hole to climb out of. And Florida State's offense, I thought, played well.
Yeah.
The defense struggled on the road.
Yeah.
I guess
I was concerned about their run-stopping ability going into this week against Miami. Just not being able to stop the run when they had to.
Yeah.
So I think what it is, Virginia's probably a much better running team than Alabama is.
That could be it.
Alabama is not a good running team.
Also, Virginia's, no. I think, I'm hopeful that, you know, styles make fights.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm hopeful that Florida State's defense might match up with Miami's offensive style
a little better.
Because that's going to be more, it's going to be similar to the Alabama style. They're going to want to run the ball more, I think. Yeah. But hopefully our defense playing at home again. You know, that crowd's going to be wild. It's going to be a night game. There is some hope that the season's not lost for Florida State. If nothing else, if our offense continues to produce like it is, at least it'll be a fun season. You know, as far as like, won't be boring matchups or,
right.
Okay. You know.
You'll be in all the games.
I kept waiting for y'all to blow that thing open, man.
It was so close in the second quarter. We're up 21-14 right before halftime. And Jerry Lewis, who's been our best corner, he transferred from Houston. He's got 3 picks in, you know, prior to this, 3 games. And he jumps a route. It's going to be a pick 6. I mean, and he slips a little bit, misses the pick. Not only that, the receiver actually catches it, advances it upfield, and all of the defensive players are then trying to strip the ball. It ends up being a 30-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from a pick 6, which is now it's 28-14, and we're getting the ball after half, to they go down and score.
Yeah, that's a 14-point swing, what you feel like.
The next play is a 30-yard run where Earl Little, who has been just laying the wood all year, comes up, hits the running back in the hole. It's going to be a 2-yard gain, and instead of wrapping up, the running back bounces off of him, and he goes 30 yards. And back-to-back 30-yard plays, they end up scoring. It's tied at halftime. Florida State comes out of the half, drives down, misses the field goal. And that's about when I text Brian Howell and said, I don't like the way this is going.
Yeah.
White uniforms.
Hey, listen, if there's such thing as uniform curses, I believe in them when it comes to alternate uniforms. And I told y'all that on Friday.
On Friday, the game. Yeah. Well, y'all were asking if you thought if Georgia was going to wear black or not. And I said, I hope not.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was a good game. Season's not lost for Florida State. It could be a dramatic perspective change if Florida State loses to Miami, because now you're looking at two losses in conference. You got to win out the rest of the way to even have a chance at anything, you know, significant beyond just a bowl game. So it's a big game in Tallahassee. Big game in Tallahassee this Saturday
night. What time is it?
7:30.
Ooh. Yeah, 7:30 ABC game.
It's gonna be a bad place to be when the game's over.
Oh, listen, I have seen some after the Florida game and the Miami game. You don't want to have your young
ones
down
there. We were there for a Clemson game that went down on the wire when some of the local guys that played at Clemson were there. And I vowed, and we had really, somebody gave us some parking pass. It was like 30 feet from the stadium, but I think it took us 4.5 hours to get back to Thomasville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom was like, these girls just wear no clothes around here.
You're like, oh, I hadn't noticed. Yeah.
She was appalled at that, you know. Like, the girls at Georgia don't dress like that. I'm like, Mom, yeah, they do. They all do.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I've never noticed that. I don't know, Kyle. Maybe years ago maybe I was at that same game.
Maybe you were there.
Yeah. There have been some good ones down there. I've seen, I saw a father-son both get, like, double knocked out, like both of them knocked out into the bushes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it gets wild down there. I will not be at Saturday's game. I have two tickets, and we're not going.
Bet you can sell them.
Well, I listed them prior to the Virginia game. Mm. Tickets for this game were
like $700.
Stupid crazy.
Just to get in the door.
Prior to the Virginia game. I listed them. And I didn't sell them the first day or two, and I thought, well, people are just making sure we're going to beat Virginia. They haven't sold. I've dropped the price on them. Still haven't sold.
So call the station if you need a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I could give them away, yeah. But, yeah, they that's going to be a good game Saturday night. Interesting that they chose not to send game day. They're sending they're sending Fowler and Herb Street on Saturday night, but that's not the game day location.
Where are they going?
Alabama Vandy.
Oh, wow. Pavia.
Yeah. It's almost like they forget that, you know, the ACC is a TV partner as well. I'll say that.
I mean, this game had it written all over it. They should be
State
there.
Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And both are back. You know, so.
Yeah, I really wish. But, you know, the fact is the game is really all that matters. You know, game day, who cares, I guess. But they haven't been to Florida State since 2014.
You do when you do have game day. You do get a spotlight on your university. Now, they had just been to Miami, 2 weeks prior when they played Florida. So maybe that was probably part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They did Big Ten last week.
That was probably the reason why they didn't come to Georgia-Bama again. They also had Oregon. You know, Penn State, but I don't know. I thought it was a shoe-in because Corso's coming back to be honored at Florida State.
Also, it could be that they're afraid that Florida State fans are just going to be nasty to Kirk.
Could be.
And Florida State fans have a lot of vitriol towards Kirk Herbstreit because of his, and it was obvious and open, his campaigning for Alabama to get into the 23 playoff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it started 2 weeks before Jordan Travis even got hurt. The conversations on the, you know, the network, you know, if you just look at strength of schedule and if this happens, and then you see Kirk and Fowler celebrating. You remember how Alabama won that game against Auburn?
Last second
Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And they're like jumping up and down and hugging each other in the booth. And then, you know, the ACC championship game comes, and the whole talking narrative during the ACC championship game and leading up to that is, yeah, but now their quarterback's hurt, and do they really deserve a spot? And
now Fowler's a Bama guy, right?
That's Reese Davis.
Fowler might be Colorado.
Okay,
one of them went to Colorado.
Fowler went to Colorado. Reese Davis went to Alabama.
Okay,
yeah, yeah. And Herb Street's an Ohio State alum.
He's been no SEC guy.
I don't know if he's an SEC guy as much as he just seemed to Florida State fans to be anti-Florida State going back to 23.
There's no telling what they're told to do, man.
He also had kids that played at Clemson.
Right.
So there was some of that. Like, oh, your kids go to Clemson, a rival school of Florida State. There was some of that going on, too.
So it could be that they just thought it'd be nasty.
Yeah.
You know, and Florida State fans probably would have been nasty, you know.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Behind the set on game day. but, yeah, moving on, LSU at Ole Miss. Thoughts on that one? How about that fourth down call?
I picked them. I picked Ole Miss last week.
Yeah.
I was a little bit – I mean, we think Nussmeier's hurt, right? We've all decided that that's the case.
I saw it. I saw it reported.
They'd have won by two touchdowns if he was throwing like he was throwing last year.
I saw a couple – there was a guy on Twitter that did like a breakdown of like his throwing motion.
Oh, yeah.
And how his throwing motion is totally different. He's using so much of his body just to get the ball like 15 yards on the field, even if that far. So, where last year it was more of, you know, a hip rotation and just a quick
– Well, it was an NFL arm.
Yeah.
And now it's not.
Yeah, it's something's up. Well, I didn't get to watch a lot of the games because we were tailgating. I did watch Georgia Tech a little bit. I didn't get to watch some of the games that were closer to Georgia game time because you got to get up there and handle your business.
Well, Kelly says he's on the backside of the injury now.
Okay.
So they got a bye coming up. I don't know. I don't know if you're ever going to see him like peak last year.
We all picked Ole Miss, by the way.
Yeah.
We got that one right.
Big win for Kiffin.
Yeah, it was.
You need to watch the Kiffin E60. Have y'all watched it?
I've heard it's awesome.
It's really good. It would change your perspective on him.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Well, he's changed.
He has a lot.
Yeah.
And he goes through that in there, but it's a really
good
watch.
Somebody told me that he's probably not going to leave that job.
If you watch it, you'll think the same thing.
Yeah.
His fourth down play call, by the way, so they go for it on fourth and three or something like that. With the ball and the lead, but it's at like
midfield.
Yeah, 40, something like that. Mm. And it's a great play call. They, you know, backside hit the running back in the flat, or might have even been a tight end. I'm not sure. But it gets like 16 yards, and the dude just takes a knee. It's that type of game clincher.
There was nobody in the screen with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, he like slid down, didn't he? I saw this on SEC.
Yeah. And Kiffin, of course, as you know.
Yeah.
Excited on the sidelines. I don't know what it means for Ole Miss except, A, you get a big win over an SEC team, you know, leapfrogging them in the standings.
You put them in the top five in the AP.
And, you know, we don't know for sure if LSU is going to end up being one of those teams at the end of the year that's competing for an SEC championship. But if they are, now Ole Miss has the tiebreaker over them. And, you know, it puts them in a good spot.
Did you see Whit Weeks throwing up in the first quarter?
Yeah, as they were talking about – as they were talking about him dating Kiffin's daughter.
And somebody posted a picture and Kiffin wrote tempo.
He's a great Twitter
follow.
Well,
they asked him after the game. They were interviewing him. He said, I need to find Whit and see if we covered the over.
Yeah.
But, that's the part that.
But LSU still can't run the ball.
No.
They were counting on being what Alabama is, a quarterback-led precision passing game.
Right.
And they can't do it.
Yeah.
Because he can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, so.
I saw a couple highlights, too, where, I mean, Kelly's laying into Nussmeier on the sideline.
He's underthrowing wide open guys for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And they're batting them away. It's like, man, you floated it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think they're going to be underdogs to Alabama.
Yeah.
Right? And if there's another loss on the schedule somewhere, I'm sure there is. 9-3. You know, that's
and they play A&M.
Right.
So, like, that's one that you could look at.
Pulling it up.
Potentially.
They got Vandy. South Carolina next after the bye. Then Vanderbilt. Then A&M. Then Alabama. Then Arkansas. They close with Oklahoma.
So, is the Bama game in
two more on there?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. 9-3, probably. Did you guys watch Texas A&M Auburn?
No, I was watching that, like keeping up with it on my phone. No one ever wanted to win that game.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be high scoring.
Yeah. 16-10.
Something like that.
0-12 on third down.
Oh, don't even talk about third
Auburn
down.
Auburn was.
Wow.
0-12.
Oh, that'll lose you a football game.
Yeah. Or let somebody go 12-12.
Auburn's not very good on offense and pretty dang good on defense. Yeah,
and they don't use their weapons. They've got Cam Coleman. They got Singleton. They've got they have weapons, and it's just like he can't get it to them, or they don't scheme it up to get it to them. Like, why are you not? I mean, to Georgia's credit, they're going to try their dang best to get the ball to Zachariah Branch. Mm-hmm. Sometimes to a fault. It's like Auburn's just like, well, we don't even really care about
I don't get it.
The best receiver potentially in the SEC.
Yeah. There's a lot of portal talk with him.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of, like, graphics.
$3 million.
Yeah.
Is what everybody's saying.
Mm. Even if you don't get fired, like, he's done.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Bama, Georgia.
We could have a whole podcast about this. It was death. I said it to other people. It was death by a thousand cuts. And you felt that way from the very beginning. Like, from the very, they complete. Okay, one, we go three and out, whatever. And they come down and they get third and mediums. You're like, all right, well, then you didn't know they're going to have six more before they finally didn't have a third down conversion. You know, 14 straight plays, touchdown. Then another 14 straight plays, touchdown. They had 12, I think it was like 12 for 12.
They could have eased your pain if he'd have just caught the bomb right off the bat.
That would have been nice.
That's true.
It might have helped us.
Both teams had one of those.
Yeah, both teams had one. It was never out of anybody's hands. Like, Georgia was always in it, but I always just kind of felt like, yep, this is just how it is. Just sitting, and you kind of felt it in the stands.
You're institutionalized.
You've just become, like, numb to it.
You're like, yeah, I know I'm held captive by the serial killer, but I kind of like it.
How do you think Kirby feels? I know he says he don't lose sleep over it and all, but, man, come on. It's got to be getting to him.
Everybody's got it. He feels it. Now, he was on the other side of some of that Bama stuff, on the Bama side of it, you know, the 08, the 2015, the championship games in some cases. Like, some of those were – he was on the other side of it. It's just
– I can't think –
it's like a complex.
So, Ryan Day's got this a little bit with Michigan.
Mm-hmm. But he also has a national championship ring. It makes you sleep a little bit easier. Kirby does, too.
He does. Yeah. But, man, it's getting to the point where – it's getting old.
It could be worse. He could have James Franklin's record against top 10 teams.
That's true. You know, the play everybody keeps going back to is the fourth down call. Y'all, there were almost 13 minutes left in the game.
If you'd have told me what they weren't going to score again, sure.
Right.
They were probably going to score twice more, if you ask me.
Right.
You're already down there. You need more points than three.
Right. In hindsight, everybody's like, oh, you should have kicked the field goal. In hindsight, yes, you should have tied the game. But in the moment, Georgia had moved the ball well. And if you watch the play, no matter who you listen to, I've watched several people, you know, some people say, oh, it was Juan Gaston missed it. Some people say, oh, Glover missed it. You know, it doesn't matter who you talk to. The play was there. Somebody screwed up. And Kirby, to Kirby's credit and Mike Bobo's credit or whoever, they said we ran it successfully against Tennessee three or four different times. You know, it was there. I think people wouldn't feel as bad if you had somebody else in the game, if you have your best running back out there, right? If your best running back gets beat, your best running back. But I think people feel like we didn't put our best foot forward handing it off to Cash Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now.
Wasn't a very good spot on third
down. Spot on third down. There's all the argument about did Kirby go too fast and didn't give him a chance to review it? Well, they had stopped a play earlier in the game that was just about as fast. I think if there's a question, they have to stop it, no matter what it is. And let Kirby get mad about it.
So was there a food truck on fire?
No, that was the fireworks from the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So that was what happened.
Well, somebody today told me there was a food truck on fire.
No. So it was really awkward.
Because I couldn't see. Could they see?
They could definitely. Now, somebody said that ESPN couldn't get the sideline camera, so all they had was that whatever robot camera that flies,
the one on the cords. Yeah.
So they were only using that. So that they were saying, now this is probably conspiracy theory, but they didn't have a good angle of the they didn't have a good angle of the play from the sideline because they couldn't use that camera because the smoke was too heavy. They shot about 1,000 fireworks that night. They were doing, and at that point in time in the game, the air had kind of gotten cooler. It was heavy. Everything was kind of hanging down. Remember the LSU Florida shoe throw game where the fog kind of settled in? It was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just kind of settled down there on the field. But still, I mean, goodness, at least give it a shot to look at it.
Yeah, I know. From the side, what I've watched, he was clearly there.
I saw a guy in the stands on his phone that had it, and it looked pretty good to me. But, you know, it's Georgia. That was not the reason Georgia lost mm-hmm. the game. Georgia lost the game because they couldn't get off the field on third down.
Yep.
They didn't give up any points in the second half, but they still couldn't get off the field on third down consistently enough to give the offense a chance. And then I think when they did get a chance, they're like, man, we got to do something and feel a little pressure because our defense can't get us the ball back. And so that was a little bit of – but, I mean, I don't fault the call. I don't fault – you know, there was 13 minutes left.
He said
you
he
had
do
other
it
chances.
10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
I mean, wonder if he really means that, though.
We all have the – everybody has, like, the – we have it all in hindsight. Like, hindsight. Of course you would kick the field goal now because you know you don't win.
Right.
I bet he was probably about 90% sure that was walk-in.
Well, it was if it was executed.
Mm-hmm. They had the perfect look.
Yeah. So everybody blocked one way except Glover.
Yeah.
And the other guy left him to get upfield.
He was going to go block the linebacker.
And he left LT.
But he had his back to him.
He just.
You talking about the tackle?
The tackle.
On that side?
Yeah.
Like he.
He pushed him in and then he moved.
He like chip blocked him.
His back was to the defense. Like he pushed him in and instead of turning to the right and moving to the second level, he's got his back. The steel shot that I saw at one point has his back to the defense after the chip.
Yeah, it was something. Weird, and like, you got two true freshmen.
Yeah,
and that's, I don't know if y'all seen Kiffin, talking about Kiffin. Kiffin had a breakdown of that play. Have y'all seen that? There's pros and cons to it, right? You can go fast and hope you get the look, which you got, or you go slow and you get the personnel that you have, right? Is it X's and O's or is it Jimmy's and Joe's? And that's the thing, right? It was at that point, it was more about the X's and O's and getting the look you wanted. Well, because of that, you're a true freshman, the right side of the offensive line. And I told y'all last week, if Georgia gets the right side right, they win. Well, in that case, the right side wasn't right. And so they give up something. And so you go fast, you lose that ability to kind of get your feet set in the ground, make sure your guys understand what's going on, get your best. I mean, the way that Josh McCray was running the ball, you could have handed it to him from the 50, and he was going to get you yards. Like, that guy played amazing.
Also, am I
but
wrong?
You give it to Cash.
Am I wrong that he bounced it and should have just stuck it upfield? I mean, the play is to the right. Okay. It's going to the sidelines. But from one angle, it looks like if he just puts his foot in the ground
and just goes straight up the field.
But
that's not his game. Cash is going to try to. Cash is a fast kid. Mm-hmm. He's going to try to use his speed to do it. And I'm sure the play design is to go out there. Because you had trips left, right? You had four defenders into the boundary. You had nobody.
Right.
You had nobody out there, which is what's frustrating because you think, oh, man, the play was there. That's a touchdown. They don't score again. We win. But, like, it's frustrating. It really is. Can I ask a question? Okay, the tush push is huge in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Can we not do it in college? Can we not at least try it?
I don't know the rules on it.
I mean, I think you can do anything you want to, even if it's against the rules.
Reggie Bush did it.
You can't pull in college. You can't at any level of football. You can't pull the runner forward. But in my understanding, you can push. I mean, you push the pile all the time. Why hasn't anybody in college tried the tush push? Why doesn't any other NFL team?
You know, Mike Leach was trying to throw a small person.
He was trying to throw a small. He was trying to find a small person.
Man, I wish that would have come to
I'm sure he's thought about it. Sorry.
Opposite end of that, when they throw that little screen pass to Caden Proctor.
Yeah.
And
that was genius.
Somebody had a screenshot of that, and you could see one of the Georgia defenders just kind of, you know, bowing out of the play. And they're like, hey, if I ever send you this, it means I'm making a business decision.
So when they motioned him a couple of times earlier, we were watching together. I was like, yeah, something's going to happen with that.
They set it up. Yeah, they set it up well.
He's an athlete, man.
Yeah. You know, it's just the same old, same old.
Good luck trying to tackle that guy.
I know.
I mean, they did get him out of bounds. He didn't score.
He didn't score. Yeah. They scored eventually.
Yeah. All right, real quick.
We need to talk about Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson's playing really well right now.
He is.
Yeah.
He's playing well inside that offense. Grubb and DeBoer have him playing well.
But a few times when Georgia got pressure on him and got him out of the pocket.
So the times that you would consider a pressure, which is unfortunate, it was only five. He only counted five pressures.
Sack him one time?
Zero.
Thought I saw a sack from Chris Cole. Maybe that was on they tried to throw a pass.
That was on the wide receiver.
Yeah.
So quarterback pressures. He was one for five.
That's
for 10 yards.
That was the difference in the Florida State game, and that's what we talked about. Like, if you get him moving, he's not accurate.
In the times
we saw that in real time.
Oh, yeah.
In the times where that Georgia was able to get pressure, he was one of five for 10 yards.
But it's going to be a consistent problem for us if we don't get it.
Georgia's got to figure out a way to generate some
pressure.
Can
you fix it?
I think you can fix it, but you're going to have to trust your guys to play man on the back end. And I'm not sure the way that Ellis Robinson played Saturday that he's ready to play man.
So DeMelo is probably about to take his job.
I think he's legit.
That and jumping on the pile didn't help his cause.
That's like an 8U flag football penalty there, man. Like, when life throws you the unexpected, wouldn't it be great to have someone right there with you? Like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there, ready to help protect what matters most to you. Call Thomas today at 229-798-4018 for a free quote. He might just save you money and get you better protected. Serving all of Southwest Georgia, like a good neighbor, State Farm agent Thomas Horn is there. Visit his website at thomasismyagent.com.
Man, I ain't never seen such.
Real quick, let's talk about the Penn State-Oregon game. I didn't actually watch much of that game.
It was the same time as the Georgia-Bama game.
But the outcome of that game, once again, the narrative continues that James Franklin is now 4-21 against top 10 teams.
Yeah, it's bad.
Something like that. It's a home game. It's a whiteout. This is supposed to be your year. And can't make it happen.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Drew Aller.
Drew Aller doesn't have that gene, I don't think.
Yeah.
Apparently he was also DMing some people on the side. Y'all seen this?
Yes.
During the game?
No.
Oh, geez. Come
on. Little Carson Beck situation.
If it's real.
If it's real, man, it'll be real.
You never know what's real on
the internet. It's on the internet.
It must be real from the internet.
But, he's pretty forward from what I understand.
So he throws a pick to end another game.
Yeah. He reminds me, and I made this comment. I was comparing Carson Beck, actually, to a baseball player that hits 290. Like, he's a great dude. He's going to get base hits, except when the bases are loaded in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And then he strikes out. And as much as I like Matt Olson, the difference between Matt Olson and Freddie Freeman is Freddie's going to get the clutch hit with the bases loaded.
Yep.
Matt Olson might strike out.
That's a great comparison to Drew Aller. You're right about that.
Yeah. But he's going to hit 290, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't be mad at him.
I know.
Right.
It's tough.
Matt Olson did he get to 30?
I don't know. I quit watching.
But he almost got another 30 home run season, 100 RBIs, whatever. But, you know.
I don't like him because Rachel likes him.
Allie
always says, man, he's so tall. And I'm like, oh, yeah?
Dan Lanning was like jacked after the game. He couldn't even calm down.
Dude, that guy.
Did they do random drug tests on coaches?
They might need to.
I don't know, man. He was ready.
He was ready
to
go.
But you got to love his energy, man. He's
smelling salts or something.
I pull for him.
When Kirby's done, at this point, he's top of my list.
Would he leave? I think he'd love.
I don't know if he'd leave or not, but he's top of my list.
He's got it made, bro. He's in a good conference. He's over there by himself right now.
Well, he's got all the Nike money.
Sucking up California talent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you'd leave unless you just wanted to be back in the South.
He ain't from the South.
No, I'm just saying coach back there.
Yeah. I think he'd take a pile.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully it's a long time from now.
You know, traditionally, Oregon did not pay their coaches well. Like, recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Cristobal
wasn't paid well.
$5 million a year or something.
Wow.
And I'm sure they're paying Lanning whatever Lanning wants right now. I think he got a raise when the Alabama job came open. I think it was him and Norvell and DeBoer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were the three guys. I think he got a raise then. But, you know.
He made a wise decision.
Yeah, I agree with that. Why would you leave?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he wins one.
Everybody's got their job.
We didn't mention DeBoer 6-1 against top five teams as a coach.
Yeah.
As a head. You know, he was an OC in 2019. He's only been a head coach.
Yeah.
6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Washington and Bama.
Yeah. So I didn't realize he was that new of a head coach.
Yeah.
So
that could explain some of their road woes. I know this was a road win, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if there was DoorDash or if he got him to bed early.
I'm sure he got him to bed early.
He's probably learning.
All right. We got to move on to our preview section. We've got several games to look at. Florida State, Miami. So I'll talk a little bit about what I expect to see in that game specifically about some of the players. If you guys want to point to what you think this looks like on the national stage, first of all, if you look at Florida State Miami games, especially those in recent history, the team with a dude that steps up in that game typically wins that game. So I'm talking about your, you know, Dalvin Cooks or Jalen Ramsey. I mean, he just totally took over the game one, I think it was 14, when Jalen Ramsey just wrecked Miami on his own. Dalvin Cook did it for 3 years or however long he was in Tallahassee. Somebody's going to have to be that dude for Florida State at home to beat Miami. It might be Deuce Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Deuce is going to have to catch that pass in the end zone, right? It might be Tommy Castellanos. But if Florida State wins, it will be because there is a...
somebody played out of their mind.
A Herculean effort.
Yeah.
An effort that they're not capable of, but they're going to need to be that dude in this game. I'm looking at Deuce Robinson. Randy Pittman, the tight end, had a great game at Virginia. Threw a touchdown pass, caught a touchdown pass, and ran for a touchdown in the game. In fact, he caught the game-tying touchdown pass on fourth down from Castellanos. Pittman's a big piece of the puzzle. Tommy's going to be Tommy. But if Deuce goes off, it all of a sudden makes this a matchup that I think Florida State can win.
Deuce is a mismatch for everybody.
Yeah.
He is.
I mean,
athletic big man.
What are you going to do with him?
Yeah, athletic big man like that. I think you look a lot to like a Earl Little Jr. having a really strong game on defense, right? Not allowing their offense to get going. Miami's offense has not been great.
Right.
I mean, it's been fine. It's not
surgical,
been great.
But not
right.
Explosive.
Now my concern after last week is Miami's ability to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line is really good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have like an outstanding running back. Let's say
Martin Fletcher.
But he's not like a guy that you're like, oh man, like they have a premier running
pretty
back.
Good, though.
But they have a really good offensive line that I think they enjoy imposing their will.
Well, Cristobal's an offensive line,
right? And they have the mirror ball guy that's the offensive line coach. So that Carson Beck in big games recently, can he do it? Right?
Does he strike out with the bases loaded, or does he get the clutch hit?
You know, and so he has some clutch plays. Early in the year against LSU, was it LSU?
No, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Now, nationally, though, this is as big as it gets for both these teams.
Oh, yeah.
Because if Florida State wins, you forget Virginia.
Right.
It solidifies their place and where they are in the ACC, and it's back on like it was after Bama.
Two huge wins on the record.
Right.
Well, so I was thinking about this. If Florida State beats Miami but then loses to – yeah, I don't know, Duke or somebody down the road. At the end of the season is the narrative, but yeah, they beat Alabama and Miami.
Yeah.
Or is it, yeah, but they lost to Duke and Virginia?
It depends on what that committee values, right?
Yeah.
But then on the other side for Miami nationally, you can solidify yourself as legit if you beat Florida State at Florida State.
Not only that, you're
cruising to the playoff.
You just about punched your ticket. Yeah. At that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Only 4.5.
It's 4.5 points.
I thought that was good. Florida State is at home, so that's helpful. It is at night at home at Florida State, which is a tough place.
The over is like 54.5.
Yeah.
Which would be a 30-24.
I got 53.5 right here. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's current. But.
So that's a relatively low-scoring game when you consider that Florida State's offense has been really good and they're home.
Right.
And Florida State's defense did not play well against Virginia. I expect it to be in the 30s.
This could be a game that a Cristobal coaching management, game time management blunder cost them.
Yeah.
We've seen it happen.
I'm taking Florida State.
Multiple times.
All right. I'm writing it down.
He was getting the jump on me.
Yep. Ryan Howell took Florida State. I'm taking Florida State. You better believe I'm not picking Miami.
I'll take Miami.
Ooh.
Dude, these top 20.
I really don't want Miami to win. I'd really like the Florida State win, but I'm not sure that Florida State just is ready for that stage yet.
These lines are getting closer and closer. Yeah,
that was what I've looked at this week, was that used to you'd have several games during the week that were 15, 17, 25-point spreads.
Yeah.
Not the case anymore.
It's crazy.
Parity is here.
Yep.
Speaking of, I think the Texas-Florida line is like six and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's 1-3 with a win over Long Island TU University. Yeah, Texas, by the way, is 3-1 with wins over UTEP, Sam Houston State, and they don't have a Power 4 win.
No.
Their
Texas has been, y'all, nationally, Texas has been forgotten about.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's talking about them.
I bet it's going to be an ugly game, a bad, ugly game.
At Florida, right? Florida had an off, both teams had an off week.
Yeah.
So you don't, I mean, you know, if Arch was hurt, is he healthy? If Lagway was hurt, is he healthy? Did he practice? Did he not practice? You know, that's been that Urban Meyer was kind of on him a little bit about him not practicing.
So I was watching Florida's 4-minute drill against LSU. Have you seen how they get to the line and run motion and take like 25 seconds?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you got to score twice, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you
doing? So I watched this. This is back to Georgia-Bama a little bit, but it's about time management and clock management from the quarterback. Ryan Grubb, because you can talk to quarterbacks now to the 15 seconds.
Right.
Their philosophy is to get to that line in a formation as fast as you can, and that way he can talk to his quarterback and move. So I paid attention to it during the game. More often than not, they were fully set with 30 seconds left on the play clock. And then it generally would snap it with, I don't know, 12 to 8 seconds. But he had 15 seconds of his coach in his ear telling him, look here, here's defense here, you know. And so, like, to me, that's extremely wise. Difficult on the road because you have the noise. Mm-hmm. But when you're at home, that's big time if you can do that.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's going to be a defensive slobber knocker. Watch it be like 40 to 38.
You're talking about Texas and Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this could be.
It could be the game that Billy wins.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I bet no Florida fan wants to win this game.
Because they want to get rid of their coach.
Yeah. This is how he starts his comeback. Going like 6-1.
If you beat Texas.
To finish the year.
That's a huge feather in your cap.
Yeah.
Well, especially because the other games they've lost have been close. Like, they've not been blown out.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami game got out of hand at the end, but.
But it never, they weren't out of it until 4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
I'd initially thought I was going to take Texas, but I'm going to take Florida.
Man.
Now, see, Kyle, let me just update the standings for our listeners. Kyle is 14-8. I am 11-11. Brian, you are 10-12. If we take Florida, we can't catch him this week. I do like Florida at home. Give me Texas.
Billy's last stand, man. Billy's last stand.
I'm going to take Texas. It's going to be nasty, though. Like 20-13 or something.
3:30 game, right?
Yeah. It'll be dark. Just about in the fourth quarter.
About to the fourth quarter, yeah.
All right, so last year, Bama gets the big win over Georgia and then turns around and loses to Vanderbilt. Schedule sets up similarly this year.
Yeah, ain't that same Vandy, though.
Except it's at home this time.
Yeah.
Vandy at Bama.
Last year, I think Vandy snuck up on them. That was Vandy's coming out party. Vandy's not sneaking up on anybody this year. Pavi ain't going to let it happen. He's telling everybody about it.
10.5.
That's a pretty big spread in today's world we were just talking about. I was shocked it was double digits, actually.
56.5.
Looking at it, to my point just a minute ago about how Bama operates their offense. Now I do have a lot of faith in Clark Lee to have a defense ready. But I think that Bama lost that game last year a lot because of Milroe's ineptitude at quarterback. They have a guy at the quarterback right now, Bama, that knows what to do with the ball and where to put it, and they'll kill you with 1,000 cuts.
Can Vandy generate pressure on him?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm taking Bama.
I know one thing Vandy will do is probably rush for 250 yards.
Bama's defense cannot stop the run.
No.
Can't do
it. They're not a tough team. No. They are a precision team that is kind of optimistic on defense.
Opportunistic. Yeah, that's the word.
Which is the opposite of what we know Alabama to
be. They're not smothering.
Yeah.
I'm taking Bama, by the way.
I'm going to take Vandy.
Kentucky at Georgia.
20.5.
Noon game.
20.5. Wow.
20.5. I was shocked. Georgia and Julian not did very good against the spread.
Nasty nooner.
So South Carolina whipped them up pretty good.
That Kentucky's bad, y'all.
Yeah,
Kentucky's pretty bad. Mark Stoops is—he's on the hot seat. It's coming. He has to show some in this game. I don't think they got enough dudes to do it.
50.5
total. Yeah. Give me Georgia. Dawes need a bounce back game. I think that they use this opportunity to get right.
Yeah, I think we whoop them good.
Yeah.
Here's the only thing I'll say. I have written down. I want to verify for the listeners. You see who I'm taking, right?
Yeah, we see it.
Okay. Georgia's a missed field goal away from having wins against Austin Peay and Mercer.
Yep.
Kentucky's not going to beat Georgia at home. But if you're looking for a reason why they could, Georgia's coming off a big game, emotional game. I'm sure a lot was invested into the game plan, and Kirby would tell you it's just another week and all the things. But now here we are again.
Nooner.
Do the players, you know, do they bring it in a nasty nooner? I could see Kentucky hanging around the first quarter or two. I can also see Georgia getting up by 3 touchdowns at halftime.
We'll find out a lot about Georgia's team and how they feel about themselves, how close-knit they are, how resilient they might be in the first half of this game.
I wrote down Georgia, by the way, for our listeners. All right, last pick, Clemson at North Carolina. So, 1-3 Clemson, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
1-3 Clemson facing off against, you know, Bill Belichick and...
2-2 UNC.
Yeah. What is it, Chapel Bill? Is that what they're calling him?
14, Clemson's favored by 14.5.
Clemson's got to win this game.
Have to.
They're on the road, but
I don't know.
They got to win this game, right?
Yeah, they got to, man.
There's no way they lose this game, right?
Did you hear Dabo getting on the coaches?
Yeah, he said.
They said that practice has been ownership. Different. They said practice has been different in Clemson. Mm-hmm. That the it's just been different. Let's just say it that way. Yeah. You hope that they have the capability to bounce back if you're a Clemson fan.
Give me
right?
Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson too.
Yeah, me too.
He said, I'm not pointing a finger, I'm pointing a thumb. That's pretty good saying.
Man, he's got all the...
He's got the sayings.
Yeah, he does.
I bet he's got a book of sayings.
Yeah.
He should write a book if he does.
I'm sure he will.
Of Dabo-isms.
There you go.
Yeah. Is the Bill Belichick experience going to work?
I think his buyout's real low now.
Well, before the season, it was $1 million. Before July 1st, and then it went up.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was that weird clause that if he...
He got an NFL job.
Yeah, it was only $1 million.
Well, he had to make over that roster. So, I think first year's kind of...
But my question is, does he want to be there?
Yeah.
I think he wants to coach football. He doesn't want to be at North Carolina.
I think he looks at it like he's coaching 8th grade team. Seriously?
Probably.
I mean, do you think he takes it real seriously?
He's a competitor.
Yeah.
I mean,
would Nick Saban take it seriously? You dang right he would.
Yeah.
But Belichick has never been, he's been in the NFL. It's hard to tell who he is, but like real reserved on the sideline. Doesn't really get a lot of.
Ask his girlfriend what she thinks during timeouts.
Who knows? That's
can I get $20 for the concession stand?
That's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I know. He's Bill Belichick.
Now, Karen Rick, right? That was her name.
No.
Catherine.
Catherine Rick.
Yeah. Water girl.
Different.
That was different. He was not talking to her. During the game.
Yeah.
This is weird.
And she was also his age. This girl's, girl's like 24 years old.
That's the other thing.
Well, they say that what's the quarterback, Johnson, is older than Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
I mean, I'm not going to hate on him for, his age.
Good for him.
You know, but.
It's weird.
It is a weird situation. I think North Carolina does put it together under Belichick in the next few years. I don't know how long he's going to want to do this.
That's, I mean, how old is he? 75 maybe. Years old, probably.
Yeah, I mean, but it seemed like the college game was built for him now. Like this version of the college game where you can go get, quote, free agents.
Yeah.
They're not really free agents. But, you know, you can build your roster without having to build it strictly in high school recruiting.
Yeah.
You can pay the players. It's more of a professional approach to your locker room, and maybe that's why he's struggling. Maybe he is approaching it as, hey, you're grown-ups and you get a check and we're going to X's and O's it, but you got to do your job. Mm-hmm. And maybe college players need more, you know, of the Kirby Smart.
What have you – I've heard the saying that, like, there's no development occurring in the NFL.
Right.
You're fully developed when you get there. It's all about X's and O's. You take care of your own body. You take care of your own development. we're not, like you said, there's no, they don't have facilities in the NFL. Like, that's not a thing. They have a subpar weight room, subpar locker rooms. Mm-hmm. But in college, it's all about development and personal development and physical development. He doesn't have ready-made players at UNC.
Right.
He's got 18-year-olds.
By the way, kind of a little tie into that, I saw a Tom Brady quote where he said that there's no such thing as a college program as much anymore as there are college teams.
Yeah, that's true.
And his point was, you know, the dudes that you recruit out of high school that you, you know, put weight on and you develop them over two or three seasons and then they make an impact as a redshirt sophomore or a junior. No. Now, you are still doing that. The best teams are still getting their dudes and building them up, but they're playing more as freshmen and sophomores now than they ever have. And then if you have a hole, you go sign the, quote, free agent. You go get the wide receiver you need or you know.
What was the stat? Andrew Thomas was the last freshman to start on the offensive line for Georgia, and Georgia had two starting against Alabama on the same side of the line this week.
Yeah. I think this all has taken Kirby's greatest attribute away from him, the acquisition of talent.
And developing over time.
Yes.
Mm.
I was thinking about that today, along with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference. You know how many head-to-head battles we lost with Texas?
Oh, a lot.
Since they've been in there?
Yeah.
And I think it spread it thin, man. I really do.
Which is why you see these spreads getting closer. You see a lot. You see parity because you have all this happening.
Yep. And not just the conference, but across the country.
Yeah, yeah.
We could sure use Missouri boy.
Oh, yeah.
Rushing the passer right now. It's what this team's missing.
Yeah.
But
who's on upset alert?
I've got Texas Tech at Houston on upset alert.
Mm.
Texas Tech ranked number 11, 10 some places. Houston's quarterback, Connor Wegman, who started for a while at Texas A&M. Their defense has struggled some. And Texas Tech's offense has been putting up a bunch of points, but they're kind of like some of the other teams right now. They've beaten the Sam Houstons and they've beaten the Kent States. Neither team has really kind of proved themselves yet. I think Texas Tech beat somebody last week. I think that's what I'm watching. Houston over Texas Tech. Texas Tech has they're the team that's kind of built their, thinking of NIL, kind of bought their free agents and are doing well with them. So
I'm gonna go with Iowa State, Cincinnati.
Ooh,
yeah, Cincinnati's favored.
Yeah,
Iowa State's 14th in the country though. Cincinnati's unranked.
I looked up Iowa State's schedule because I'm like, why are they 14th? But they've got wins over Iowa. You know, they beat their rival Iowa earlier in the season. I mean, they've got a couple of quality Power Four wins. I thought maybe they were just the product of a soft schedule up to this point.
They're pretty good. The quarterback's really good.
Cyclones.
What's Texas Tech ranked?
11th.
So it's those two in the driver's seat in the Big 12.
At the Big 12 still a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got two teams on upset alert, Texas and Miami.
Yeah.
Both of those.
Yeah. I picked Florida to beat Texas. That was not until a little while ago. But
yeah. Any thoughts on the playoff picture right now as far as are we starting to get some clarity or is it still just as clear as mud?
Mud.
I think we'll have it in 3 weeks.
Is that when the first rankings come out?
I think the first rankings are right around Halloween, which is a little more, about 5 weeks. But I think you'll get more clarity around who. I mean, by then, Georgia would have had a couple more games. Florida State would have already played Miami. You know, you're going to have a few more of these teams that are kind of on the fringes. Like, Georgia season could make or break through this week in Auburn, right? I mean, you got a couple of those kind of things going on. Florida State's got their game against Miami. Miami's got a game against Florida State.
They've still got to go to Clemson?
Yeah, I think that's late October.
You'll have some of these Big 12 things will sort themselves out a little bit, will occur then. And I'm not really sure about the Big 10. I hadn't looked at it closely this week.
I think what you could say right now is, with some exception, Florida was never really going to be a playoff team. I don't think anybody looked at this year's Florida team. Like, they may have said, if they go 10-2, then they'll. But realistically, looking at the schedule and the track record, you know, you probably thought they were going to be a fringe team at best.
Yeah.
But the teams I'm talking about are the Texas, Ohio States, Oregon's, Georgia's, Bama's.
Yeah.
They're all still right where they need to be.
Yeah.
You've got Ole Miss heavily in the conversation at this point.
Trinidad.
Yeah.
I always think about Trinidad James, the rapper. Remember him?
No.
Every time I'll send you a bit. Every time I say his name, I think about it.
He must be a newer
They're
rapper.
Square. I mean, they're ranked number. They're ranked fourth in the AP right now. Fourth in the coaches' poll.
Well, they give him a different dynamic with his legs.
And he can throw it. And he can surprisingly can throw it.
I mean, he's in the Heisman conversation.
Yeah, it's I think 3 weeks from now we'll have a better sense of what's what. Right now, like you said, we're just now out of the cupcake season.
Yeah,
everybody's playing somebody now.
Who does the Sporting News? What's his name? Can't remember. Anyway, he's calling for 5-10-2 SEC teams.
Well, 5-10-2. I think this year we might see our first 9-3 non-conference champ in the playoff. From somewhere.
Last week I said if Florida State beats Virginia, and then remember the whole conversation.
Clemson did it last year.
They were conference champ.
They were 9-3 though.
But I said a 9-3 non-conference champ.
Oh, okay.
But the conversation last week was, Florida State gets shut out of the playoff as a 10-2 team because there are going to be all these other 10-2 teams out there. And we talked about LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, Georgia, Bama. I mean, if all five of those, their brands plus a 10-win season, especially if they beat up on each other and you got to, Georgia loses to Bama but then beats, Texas.
And Ole Miss,
I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of mud
like that.
It's
going to be messy, man. It's bad.
Which I think is good for the fans. That in and of itself.
Unless your team gets left out.
But I'm just saying the fans collectively. Like, it's good for interest in football, right? I mean, people were.
Ain't no doubt.
Expanding the playoff has kept people in the season, kept the fans engaged in the season a lot longer. Now fans are disengaged when your coach is going to get fired. Mm-hmm. Right, that's when you get disengaged. Used to, Georgia fans would have lost to Bama 4 years ago. That season's finished.
Yeah, well, but now you only have four teams getting in.
But now you walk out of there and you're like, all right, well, lost to them last year and still had a shot,
Yeah.
And so I think you have fans that stay in it longer. You have interesting games in. I mean, nobody would have cared about Kentucky, Georgia after they lost to Bama, but now you got to prove yourself in that game.
So, speaking of coaching changes, let's real quick just take a moment to recognize our man, Sam Pittman.
Pit Boss.
Yes, sir.
Man. I hate it for him. We all saw it coming, but.
He can go sit by the smoker and do what he likes to do.
So, have you heard this? He's got his gigantic. Brand new house he's been working on in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Yep. Have you heard about this house?
He said this last year.
So he has this house. He just finished it. And it's got like everything's voice controlled. And apparently after he was fired on Sunday, somebody I follow had reached out to him and he said, I'm already in Hot Springs.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think he's gone. The guy I was the follow, Rusty Mansell, y'all may follow him. Yeah, he was saying like Sam's going to be fine. He'll be great on TV.
Yeah.
He'll go be a consultant here and there when he wants to just dip his toe back in.
I know
in
where
it.
He can come back and consult anytime he wants to.
Rusty seemed to think that the chances of him returning to coach in any large capacity is about less than 1%.
Well, he proved that he could be a quality head coach.
Yeah.
He proved that, which is probably something he always wanted.
Yep.
He's
at
always,
Arkansas, dream job.
Right, at Arkansas. And last year when they were talking about the hot seat, he said, well, if they decide to send me to the house, I'm just going to go on down to Hot Springs. Yeah. That's fine.
Drink me a cold beer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a fan of Sam Pittman. I really, really hope we get a Bobby Petrino, Jimbo Fisher.
Face off
for the Arkansas job.
Be great.
Wouldn't that be just awesome content?
It'd be theater that we couldn't even pay for.
I mean, so Petrino went 21-5 his last 2 years before he got canned.
Yeah.
Remember they beat us in Athens?
Yeah. I was there.
That was a long time ago. I don't know
though.
If he's the same guy. And you can't.
We fired the whole defensive staff this week pretty much.
Yep.
They were bad though.
They were bad. Golly.
Yeah. I don't think he's the same guy. And Jimbo's not the same guy.
Yeah.
Like if Jimbo were to get that job, and I bring it up because you sent the rumor that, maybe Jimbo's one of the candidates. I mean, he's going to have to – Arkansas's going to have to spend big on NIL to get a
Jimbo. And Arkansas came out pretty publicly and was like, we're trying to win in other sports.
But, dude, Northwest Arkansas is like the business capital of the Midwest.
Oh, I'm sure there's money.
Tyson, well, you got Tyson and Walmart.
Yeah, you also got Jerry Jones.
The trucking outfit, Hunt Trucking. Yeah. Like, it's major.
Yeah.
Built around Walmart.
Also, Rhett Lashley is a candidate, from what I understand.
That'd be a good spot for
him. So he played there, quarterback, right?
I think so. But the logic that I saw behind it was he's currently in Dallas coaching at SMU. Yeah. And one of the biggest Arkansas supporters is Jerry Jones. I mean.
Yeah. It'd be a good one. It'd be a really good one for them to get. I think Rhett Lashley would do well there.
That's been another episode of the Southern Football Report presented by State Farm agent Thomas Horn. If you're looking for auto, home, or life, visit thomasismyagent.com. He'll get you covered. He does a good job, right, Kyle?
Does a great job.
That's personal testimonial.
Thomas
right
is my agent.
Yep. thomasismyagent.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Southern Football Report.